Welcome back, everybody. I'm Maggie Dawn. You're listening to the Civic Media Radio Network. We have an incredibly special guest that I think every single one of you should hear what he's got to say. He is former Lieutenant Anthony Aguilar. He is retired U.S. Army Special Forces Green Beret. He served our country for 25 years. He served and was deployed in Iraq, Afghanistan, Tajikistan, Jordan, and the Philippines. Let me set the stage for you. After Mr. Aguilar left our military service, moved by what he saw in Gaza, he joined an organization called UG Solutions to help provide security at some of the food distribution centers in Gaza. Food and other humanitarian aid in Gaza is being distributed by a U.S. and Israeli-backed humanitarian aid initiative. It's called the Gaza Humanitarian Foundation, or GHF. GHF has been delivering this aid into Gaza since late May, and it's crossed maybe about 100 million plus meals have been delivered. However, the United Nations has been reporting that hundreds, if not more than that, of Palestinians have been killed outside GHF sites. Now, there are four sites in Gaza, and many claim that the location of the sites is in an active combat zone. Think about that. Humanitarian aid being distributed in an active combat zone. How are non-combatants supposed to get there? We'll get into all of that. Now, when Mr. Aguilar arrived in Gaza in mid-May of this year, what he saw shocked him. And he filmed some of the desperation and chaos in Gaza. He filmed the use of live ammunition by defense contractors working in conjunction with the Joint U.S.-Israeli Humanitarian Aid Initiative, again also known as GHF. He also saw non-lethal munitions being used for crowd control, because when people are starving to death and you deliver, say, a handful of meals, there's going to be a crowd control problem. And on May 29th of this year, at Site 4, former Lieutenant Aguilar filmed a video in which UG Solutions ultimately posted in full on its website that has led to a whistleblower complaint and his protesting U.S.'s continued involvement and support of Israel in Gaza. I want to take a listen to some of that video from that fateful day in May. Listen carefully. Okay. With that, let me introduce to all of you listeners, Lieutenant Anthony Aguilar. And first of all, let me begin by saying thank you for your 25 years of distinguished service to our country. I appreciate that, sir.
Well, thank you, and thank you for having me, and I appreciate your introduction and description of what the situation is in Gaza. It's very important that the American taxpayer, that Americans understand what's really going on in Gaza.
So let's start sort of big picture. You had served in the military. What motivated you to sign up for a private security contractor, UG Solutions, and go to Gaza?
Well, after my retirement, working for a private...
Oh, I think we just lost Lieutenant Aguilar. We will work to get him back. I want to also play for us this afternoon, Mr. Aguilar, having witnessed... Oh, he is back. Let's try again. Go ahead, sir. You were saying. And maybe check to be sure that you are unmuted. That old trick. Now let's see if we've got Lieutenant Aguilar. We're still not hearing you, sir. I'm going to put a phone number for you to call in the chat. It's 855-752-4842. We'll work to get him back. So let me share with you all the whistleblower complaint from former Lieutenant Aguilar. Again, former Green Beret Special Forces. He describes in his whistleblower complaint, again, the sound from which the day the event occurred, that is the substance of his whistleblower complaint, alleges that UG security forces killed a non-combatant that day. And I'm going to have Jacob replay the sound, because you will hear someone say, "I think you hit one." So let's take another listen.
I think you hit one.
So, Lieutenant Aguilar, again, you were saying why you decided to join UG Solutions and go to Gaza. Please continue, sir.
Yes, can you hear me now?
No, we can't. Let me give you that phone number, and we're going to have you just call the old-fashioned way. That phone number is 855-752-4842. So in his whistleblower complaint, again, you hear active live ammunition. You hear one of the security contractors, according to Lieutenant Aguilar, say, "I think you hit one." And according to his whistleblower complaint, there was then an older man that basically went down. So we are now joined by Lieutenant Aguilar on the phone. So again, set the stage for us. Why did you want to go to Gaza? Why did you sign up?
Hello, can you hear me now?
Absolutely. Go ahead, sir.
Great. So I retired in March of 2025, and I was not looking for contract work or endeavoring to work for a private contract company. I was working at Lowe's Home and Garden, enjoying retirement life, really just focusing on my family. UG Solutions, who is the subcontract entity under the Gaza Humanitarian Foundation, called me on May 13th of 2025, recruiting me, stating that they were specifically looking for individuals that had recently retired or recently left the military that had a special operations background. And having served in the military for as long as I had as a Green Beret in special operations, they were pursuing my employment and they were recruiting me. I had never heard of UG Solutions before as a company. I had also not heard of the Gaza Humanitarian Foundation. That was both of those were new to me. So I explained to the recruiter that, you know, I kind of wanted to read up on it a bit and see what I was potentially getting myself into. And the recruiter said, "Well, you know, take the afternoon. But, you know, we need to have an answer soon, because you're flying, if you, you know, whoever signs under this contract is flying out Saturday, as in the fall, that Saturday, you know, 4 days from there." So I started to do a little bit of research, and I saw that the Gaza Humanitarian Foundation was very new. They just stood up and became an entity, an organization, a foundation, if you will, in March timeframe. So right around the time that I retired. And The premise of the Gaza Humanitarian Foundation was that because UN aid under UNRWA, World Food Program, and other non-government organizations were no longer allowed into Gaza, being blocked by the Israeli government, that there was now no food, no aid, no support in any way going into Gaza, and that the Gaza Humanitarian Foundation, as an American company in coordination with the Israeli government, would be the mechanism to go in and to provide this aid. From that premise, I felt that this was a noble cause to be a part of, that the blocking of aid going into Gaza was a decision far above anything that I could affect, anything that I have any impact on. And I felt that if this mechanism was going to be delivering food, that they specifically needed individuals that were that had experience in operating in combat environments, high stress environments, high risk environments, to deliver food to people that were in dire need, that was something that I should support and I should be a part of, feeding starving people that needed food, and I did not join the effort to be employed by GHF or to be employed by UG Solutions, nor to have a contractor, independent contract career. I specifically signed on for this operation because I wanted to be a part of this specific effort in feeding starving people.
Folks, if you're just joining us again, we've got retired U.S. Army Special Forces Green Beret Lieutenant Anthony Aguilar, who has become a whistleblower. I've watched and read a number of your interviews and statements, sir, and you've described what you saw in Gaza as a dystopian post-apocalyptic wasteland. Can you describe these food distribution sites? You were at all four of these GHF-run distribution sites in Gaza, correct?
That's correct.
And can you describe them? We've got just about 2 minutes, sir. Describe them so folks get a picture of what we're talking about here.
Yeah, so if you consider during the times of the United Nations delivery, there were 400 sites throughout Gaza. Now under GHF, there were only four. Currently, there are only two. So if you imagine once served 400 sites to population of over 2 million, there's now only two sites, and they're all in the south. These sites, the food was set up on the sites, and it was delivered to the sites, but there was no distribution. It was dropped off and piled up, and the civilians that would wait in these long hours to days long lines to be released to these sites would be released in droves of thousands, far beyond the capacity of how much food was on the site. The sites then turned into these fight for the fittest or fight survival of the strongest, fight to get food. The Hunger Games scenario and situation to where only the strong get food and the weak and the vulnerable get nothing. And around these sites, around and near and on these sites, civilians would be fired at or hit with stun grenades or tear gas or pepper spray or live rounds of ammunition fired at them going and coming to the sites. Going to a site to get food became a dangerous game, a very dangerous dilemma for survival for a civilian in terms of not go and starve to death or go and risk being killed. And we've seen the numbers that have been projected in the hundreds killed at or near the sites is a gross underestimate. It's well over the thousands of people that have been killed in or near these distribution sites.
The Hunger Games, indeed. Folks, you're going to want to stay with us. The conversation continues on the other side with retired Green Beret, U.S. Army Special Forces, and now whistleblower Lieutenant Anthony Aguilar. We continue to discuss what happened that fateful day in May and his witnessing of the killing of a civilian attempting to get food. I'm Maggie Dawn. This is the Civic Media Radio Network.